Welcome to the Born This Way podcast, where we face the conversations the world chooses to brush under a rug. Whether it be money, drugs, sex, depression, or suicide, this is your go-to listen on overcoming it all to become the most advanced version of you. I'm your host, Jackson Bourne. Let's waste no more time and get right into it. Guys, welcome to another episode of the Born This Way podcast. Today, I have a very, very special guest, someone who I have not personally met, but friends of friends, and you sort of see people around the place and you see people making an impact and you see people leading this life that's in that 1% different to a lot of people out there. And so I couldn't wait to get him on. His name is Sasha Karabat. Quick introduction about Sasha. He's a young entrepreneur making a global impact in the sales and e-commerce investment space with a billion-dollar plan for the future. Again, rare. You don't hear young people talking with the B word. Sasha is responsible for building 3 7-figure businesses in the course of the past 5 years in various industries, automotive, coaching, and speaking, as well as e-commerce investments. Partnering with and being closely monitored by the Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, was an incredible value in building his now 50-plus personal international sales team. Massive success wasn't always the case. However, Sasha grew up in a tiny town of 3,000 people and had a simple, humble upbringing, with him and his 4 siblings sharing hand-me-downs and struggling through most of his childhood. Personally, going broke and being homeless through his mid-20s for 18 months is what Sasha calls one of the most impactful and the best thing to happen to him. Experiencing what it was like to be at the brink of a complete failure and quitting at life was pivotal in forging Sasha's drive of determination that now is responsible for majority of his success. Without a why or a meaning to whatever you do becomes meaningless, is the quote Sasha likes to use. Guys, we dive deep into this conversation. We get deep, we uncover some things that you're probably going to feel uncomfortable with listening to. But by the end of it, as you can hear through the revelations I had in this podcast, it got to a point where I didn't even think I was doing this podcast to serve you guys. It felt like it was a learning session for me. So guys, I hope you take what I took out of it and you enjoy the podcast. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Born This Way. I'm very excited for you guys today. I brought on a special guest, Sasha Karabat. Now, Sasha and I don't know each other personally, but in the world of 2022, everything is online and Instagram. And when you see someone who vibes you, just have to talk to him. So I've brought him here for you guys today and we're going to unpack a lot. So welcome, mate.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Mate, I'm very conscious of your time. So like everyone, I don't want to sort of waste time and not serve anyone. But before we dive into what works now and what you're doing and how people can, you know, be of service now, I want to just take it back. If you want to just take me back, say, 10 years through the development of you, through the different moments, through the hard times, the good times that led you to where you are now.
Yeah. So say 10 years. So I turned 30 last year. So 10 years, I was 20. That's some easy maths. I mean, back then, you know, I was working in construction just as like a carpenter apprentice. I mean, it's so interesting even like thinking about in the moment right now as I'm like bringing myself back there and taking myself in my mind back to that version of me. I'm like, it's so difficult to even like picture it and articulate it. I was like, you know, 20, 21 years old, the only thing I cared about was, you know, getting fucked up on the week, and I'd spend my money as fast as I made it. Literally would like hit my account every Tuesday and it'd be gone by Thursday, Friday in preparation for the weekend. Feel like shit for Monday and Tuesday, hungover and didn't sleep much for the whole weekend. And yeah, kind of prepared to do it all again the same next week. And I thought I was really cool, man. I thought I was killing it, to be honest. I thought that was like awesome, amazing. And yeah, it wasn't like it was pretty fucked up.
What made you think, was it when you say you think it was pretty cool, was that because that was the environment, everybody else was doing the same thing, you just blended in? Or
yeah, like what? I think I've worked on this a lot recently, and I think what I've kind of like boiled it down to be, and I mean, maybe some of your listeners can potentially relate to this, but maybe you haven't looked this deeply into it. So when I was a kid, you know, I had a really, really, really good relationship with my mum. Really close. She loved me a lot. And she was really, really just like incredibly like warm and nurturing and really, really made me feel very loved. My dad wasn't like the same. My dad was really cold and kind of disconnected. And he was my coach for a lot of the time when I played ice hockey when I was a kid. And I kind of recognized a few things that happened during that whole process of, you know, I guess a little sporting career type thing, where I craved and longed for recognition from my dad. And I was just like, I just want to make you fucking proud. I was like, what do I need to do, man? Like, I'm skating my ass off. I'm sweating my ass off. I'm fucking training so hard. I'm running, I'm literally putting my heart and soul into everything that you tell me to do, and you just won't give me a fucking ounce of like, man, you're just doing really well. Well done. And there's multiple occasions where I just remember, like specifically like driving home or like heading back after training. And like I played my heart out on the ice, and I'm like doing my best, and I'm like watching, looking over the boards at my dad. I'm like waiting for him to see me, and nothing at all. And I remember like we're driving home, and I was like feeling good about myself. I was like, I really, really feel like I pushed hard and I developed myself. And then he just starts talking about one of the other boys in the team. And he's like, man, like this guy, Craig, like he's just incredible. Like, oh, did you see how he did this? And then he did this. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, what's it going to take? You know, so like what I kind of realized is that a lot of the behavior and a lot of the, I guess, like ego driven behavior that I was, you know, demonstrating through like my 20s and early 20s, majority for those first 5 years of 20 through to 25, 26 was me driving that need to feel some form of recognition for what I was doing. You know what I mean? I'm like, just please fucking notice me. So it'd be like spend all my money on shit that I couldn't afford. Go out on the weekend and try and impress people that didn't care about me, you know, use heaps of drugs to try and make me feel good because I didn't feel good about myself and who I was. So everything was this whole like cycle and this whole like, you know, self-perpetuating like death trap that just grabbed me tighter and tighter and left me in a position where I was, you know, eventually homeless and kind of like really, really fucked me up, you know? So yeah, that was like 10 years ago. Like I said, yeah, crazy to talk about it sometimes. I'm like, wow, like that's with a different level of understanding that I have now, like to be able to look back on it and be like, well, now I actually get what's happened and how it happened, but it's still, yeah, it's so different. But like still so much that I can remember of like the emotions, the thoughts and everything that kind of went through my mind during that time. But yeah, the biggest thing that I've realized now is it was just me trying to impress people or trying to be someone so that I could get recognition because I never had it when I was a kid, you know? So yeah, and that's a bit of a summary, I guess, 5 years ago, very different, but yeah.
I think it's very relatable, right? Because we live in a world now where, and I'm a massive culprit for it, not anymore, but I used to be, right? We look more at the likes on Instagram than we do the value of the word that we type a post instead of the value that we're giving through the post. We care more about how many likes we've got and does so-and-so get more than us, right? It's kind of the stigma that the world's created. So for you to, what steps did you go through? I think what you just said is very relatable for a lot of people, but to identify the fact that, you know, because when you were doing it and you were seeking the attention and you wanted, you know, just pay, give me something to go from that to understanding that's what you were doing. Was there a process for that, or was it just time? Was it just hard lessons for you to sort of sit there and be like,
oh, as in like what did it take for me to get to the level to say, like, obviously when I was going through it in my early 20s, I wasn't like, oh, this is just because, you know, my dad back when I was a kid, like I didn't have that understanding. Is that what you mean? Like,
yeah. Shift into understanding, you know, things happen for a reason. What happened there has built me into this position now versus like, why are you just not giving me any attention?
Yeah. I think all it was reaching a point where I was just in enough pain to seek a different route of life. You know what I mean? Like eventually what happened was I just was, you know, wound up completely broke and I had people chasing me for money, knocking on my door for money, like literally like hunting me, you know? So I was kind of like this strategy. And I kind of realized that, like, you know, there's this thing that I'm doing and the way that I'm doing things follows a bit of a pattern, and the pattern that I'm using or the program that I'm following, it's generating this particular result that has me broke as hell, scared as hell, and freaked out all the time. And I'm like, does everyone live this way? And the scary thing is, like, I remember like being in that state, and I distinctly remember like thinking and having this like strange, like really, really vivid, like understanding in my mind. And I was like, everyone is like this. You know what I mean? And the more people that I would meet or like have associations with, I'd get like confirmation that they also just get fucked up on the weekend. And then this person, like, oh, they're like a successful quote unquote business person. And then they're just getting like really fucked up even on the work days. And so what happens is like you build this like narrative around, you know, your environment that like through these confirmations of the bias that you already have, you get more examples that continue to solidify, hey, like everyone just, you know, does drugs. Everyone is just as fucked up as you are. And so like it becomes really difficult for you to actually break out of this world you live in, because your reticular activating system just goes wild and keeps presenting to you evidence. So you're not crazy, right? Because if it started showing you other things, then it'd be like very challenging and hard to deal with. So it keeps reaffirming the beliefs. And it just got to the point where I was just in so much pain, and the beliefs that I had built through all of these examples, all of these friends, quote unquote, that were around me, were just like putting me in these places of like deep suffering. And I was like, I can't bear to tolerate, you know, living like this any longer. And like, I kind of just made this like extremely like back against the wall kind of conscious decision, probably for the first time ever in my life, that like I'm going to make a fucking change. And I remember distinctly, like I was on a phone call with my dad and I was speaking to him about like what I wanted to do. And it was like for the first time ever that I actually believed in what I said, if that makes sense. Like the first time that I actually spoke the words and I was like, I'm going to be 30 years old. I'm going to have this much money. I'm going to be doing this. And I was like saying it. And I'm like, where the fuck is this coming from? You know what I mean? I'm like, where? I don't know this guy. This is really unfamiliar, but I really believed it. Like there was this like sense in me where I was like, you know, there's this like fiber or something inside my body that was like, this is truth, if that makes sense. And then so what I began doing like straight after that, writing down and actually like putting on paper some of those thoughts or some of those goals type thing. And I remember specifically writing down like, you know, my financial goals. And then I wrote down my personal goals. And then I wrote down my relationship goals. And then I wrote down all the specific details that I wanted to create in my life for like a 5-year period, bringing me up to 30 years old. And I just remember doing this and the polarity between my life and my current existence. And then when I would open my book every single morning and every single night to read my goals was so overwhelmingly different. Like I'd be living in complete pain and suffering all day. And then I'd open my book at night and I'd be like, you're going to make $1 million by next year. And I'd be like, who the fuck are you kidding, dude? How the, right? And I had all this noise and this doubt. But what it did for me and what I realized by doing that and starting to do that is that the act and the habit of me simply just opening that book and like for 10 minutes in the morning and then 10 minutes in the evening, sending like my mind and my like conscious awareness into this place that I was like choosing to direct itself into, it felt really good. So I was like, I can't wait to get up in the morning and read that book again. I was like, I can't wait until the day ends and I can just read my goals and go to sleep, because at least I'm going to feel fucking good. You know, so the interesting thing happened is that like naturally my behavior and my actions began to like, you know, kind of like organize around those types of opportunities. And you know, I had this opportunity to start my first business, which was like this automotive repair business, and kind of jumped into that with no idea. I was a carpenter and like I had no idea about cars or how they worked or anything to do with it. But I was like, yeah, like I'm going to do it. And yeah, really quickly like made a lot of money in that business in like 12 to 18 months. And I just remember going through that process of change so quickly. And I was like, what the fuck? Like I'm a completely different person.
Were you plugging in to outside sources through this, or was this just all soul taking ownership on, there's only so much I can keep playing this violin because no one's coming to save me. I'm just going to start this, stay consistent with this, and change just sort of occurred with you? Or did you start to plug yourself into sort of external sources, you know, new networks, things like that along this process?
Yeah. So what I did to that was the only thing that I did was just started reading, you know, like that was it. Like until 25 years old, I hadn't read a single book. I thought reading was for nerds, and I paid my brother out like all through school because I was like, you're just a fucking nerd, man. He used to bring books to school and read under the desk and shit. And I was like, what a loser, man. Who does that? And so I never read. Why would you do that, man? Like that's the most boring thing. I'd rather be, you know, out doing something or breaking something or like running a market or doing something like real. Why do I want to be reading a book? And so I never did it, you know? So the only thing I did through that process, because, and this is why I really, really like the concept of like putting yourself into hard situations. And what I mean by that is like pain creates like an insanely high amount of clarity. When you're in a position where you have so much pressure, so much pain, so much tension. Like you feel like you are, I don't know, it depends how deep you want to go, but like your life's going to get taken away from you. Like you're about to lose everything. Like you literally, like the very existence of you is at risk. Everything else, but what is absolutely essential, melts away. And you know with absolute precision and certainty what you need to do. This is important. Nothing else is important. I just need to focus on that. Right. It becomes, it's very powerful, but it's also kind of dangerous because you're also in that bit of a survival kind of instinct mode. But for me, that was what I leveraged by being that kind of back against the wall kind of thing. And I was like no one's going to fuck with me. No one's going to get in my way. I'll rip through a wall. I'll fucking eat your face off if you try and compete with me. I'm going to literally dominate every single person that comes anywhere close to what I'm going to do in this business when I launched it, because I had so much fucking reason and I had so much, like the lion chasing me was so big and so hungry. And I was like, if I stop for 1 second, dude, I'm going into the ground. So I was like, I've got to push this thing and get it up so that I can build some momentum and actually like free myself from, you know, the situation that I was in. So yeah.
Yeah, you speak. I mean, I speak the identical language. I've had a ridiculous amount of adversity, and I talk so highly of all of them because all of them lead me to getting stronger and getting stronger. And a lot of my podcasts, I have spoken. I don't speak down on weakness, but I speak on the sort of the give up mentality. What is your belief around? Do you believe anyone can create that? Do you believe some have it, some don't? Because there's a lot of people. Like, obviously, you know this more than I do in your professions, but you're probably going to come across more people that if faced with that same scenario are going to take the I can't do it, I'll find something easier, accept that life sucks mentality versus willing to put the back against the wall and have that lion chasing them and go through it day after day and put himself in that uncomfortable position. What's your belief in a sense of can anyone, you know, reprogram themselves to be like that? And two, what are some of the main things they need to focus on? So a lot of these listeners are going to be in that position that you're in when your back's against the wall, there's a lion about to chase you, and they're not sure whether the jump is there or whether I just let the lion catch me.
Mm. I understand what you're saying. I want to just quickly address something that I think is important before doing that. The whole like concept or narrative of like, you know, experiencing hardship and going through hardship, I something that I've currently experienced, something that I've become even more aware of, is that what can happen as part of that is you also begin to wear your hardship like a badge of honor, and it becomes an addiction that you actually use that hardship so much as a catalyst, because you've learned that when things get hard, I go forward. So you go forward, but then you stop and you self-sabotage because it's not hard anymore. So you actually reinvent circumstances and situations into your life just so that you can continue living in that narrative of like hard things need to keep fucking driving forward, right? So like just understand that. And the first things first is really key to recognize that like hard things happen. They're a part of life. You will go through extraordinary, you know, fucking adversity and risk and overwhelm if you are trying to do extraordinarily big things in comparison to most. That's just a given. But at the same time, like hardship stops when you choose it to stop. You know what I mean? And I've noticed in myself personally, the reason I say this is because I've noticed it in myself. Like I thrive on challenge, and I talk very openly and with a high degree of respect to challenge and risk and struggle. But what I've realized is that like what it does is it's actually built into me this sense of I want it to be hard so I can continue, you know, living in this version of me. That is the dude that talks about the hard things, that's constantly fucking battling, that's constantly like pushing through and just fucking driving, when it's like, does it always need to be like?
And again, a lot of people who listen to this, that's going to be like, I mean, that's probably the mic drop of the entire episode is I'm extremely guilty for that. Do you know what I mean? Like I built somewhat of a career off the fact that I went bankrupt and had heart surgery and bought into the feel sorry for me stuff because it gave me more attention in your early 20s. That's what I craved. And I'm probably still somewhat, once I'm a victim of it anymore, I'd say it still probably crosses my mind that when things happen, I take them as challenges, but probably allow them to stick around longer than they need to. I mean, we're always growing as people, and handling things is always going to change paths, but I think that's a massive one for me right now. And I know the people listening to that, that'll be there.
When I was at Jordan Belfort's mastermind in 2019, when I was at his house with like 10 other entrepreneurs, and we were like, you know, had this little mastermind situation, really intimate, really cool. And it was like a round table kind of situation where we'd, you know, stand up and each person would take it in turns to, you know, present their idea, their concept, what they're doing, and everyone would contribute, break it down, talk about the benefits or what's working, what's not, right? So, and I stood up there and I talked about my story of what I've just pretty much shared here. And everyone's like listening, they're captivated. And then Jordan just like, you know, gets to the end of it and he's like, dude, shut the fuck up, man. And I was like, what? And he's like, you got a story. Like, join the fucking queue. He's like, what the fuck? Who gives a fuck? What are you doing about it? And I was like sitting there like rattled. And I was like, okay. Like, a good story is a dime a fucking dozen, right? Everyone's out there with a good story. Oh, this story. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing with it? What are you doing about it? What are you doing because of it? No one cares. You know what I mean? And I was like, I'm going to go like cry now. And I just think it's so relevant. You know what I mean? Because people wear their stories around like this fucking badge of honor, and they carry it with them. And every time they meet someone, they go, see, look, this is what I did. And it's like, move fucking on, man. You know, it's interesting. I'm challenged by it constantly, but yeah, it was a huge thing for me. It was a big slap in the face where, you know, having him be like a mentor to me, and was just like, get on with it, dude. Do you want to keep living back there? No.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I fell into, right, is I got somewhat attention and fame because of that scenario, that even if I didn't want to live in it, that need for attention should ever have come back. I knew if I fell back into that character, that's what it gave me. And I think a lot of people, I'm an advocate for someone who, I'm not saying depression and stuff isn't real, I'm just saying it's, I always speak about it's manageable, you can control it. But I think a lot of people like to play the card, speak about it, say I'm so depressed, and saying I'm depressed is a lot easier than doing something about being depressed. And I come into that a lot in my areas, and the people that sort of reach out to me who, you know, like to say a lot of I'm going through a hard time, but don't ever come up with I'm going to do this about it. And I think it's very easy for people to fall into that. Someone's giving me sympathy, so I'm going to stay here versus have to go out there by myself.
Yeah, 100%. Because there's this your subconscious mind is so good at it. You know what I mean? Like, you will recognize and you'll begin to do things to move you towards a state of pleasure or away from pain, even if you're not conscious of it. You know what I mean? And like, even if you're in a situation where your painful story is, you know, giving you this sense of like significance or something, like part of you will be like, oh, this kind of feels good. Maybe I should, you know what? Like, yeah, this is actually pretty solid. I kind of like this. So it's just interesting. Like, I think, and that's why I say, like, you know, you can change at any fucking time. It's your choice to kind of like change now or tomorrow, or, you know, 1 minute ago is also okay.
Mate, that's a massive aha moment for me. I mean, I don't even care if anyone listens to this podcast. This is good serving for me. What, for those that listen to this and they go, well, that's easy for you to say, what do you have recommendation for these guys to sort of like, is it books? Is it podcasts? Is it change of environment for someone? Because obviously to come up with the idea and be like, cool, I'm going to start changing, is harder to maintain it, right? So when someone's trying to maintain it and they've come from that victim space, what do you recommend from a sense of habits? Do you believe in audiobooks, reading, writing down affirmations, staying consistent with things like that?
Yeah, so I've got like a kind of a core set of principles that I kind of follow around any and all change. I kind of call it my change matrix. And what it is it's just information is number one. Number two is action, and number three is feedback. So if you look at any and all kind of change, it kind of occurs, generally speaking. I remember when I was like health freak, health nut, I consumed like 50, 60 different audiobooks around health and wellness and biohacking and, you know, epigenetics and all these great things. And my diet and my whole, like, you know, nutrition and routine was the most optimized. I took action on the information, right? I was like, I'm going to do something about this because now I'm learning about it. I know about it. It's like at the forefront of my kind of awareness. And so I started doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And then I started getting feedback in my environment, right? My body started feeling better. I started like looking leaner. People are telling me like, man, your skin looks so good. Like, what are you? And so I'm like, wow, this is kind of working. So that's kind of the matrix that I follow with any change. So first of all, like, you know, you've got to consume the right information. And in order to do that, you need to know what the result is that you want. So it's like, what are you trying to achieve? Okay, because the result and the information is going to be different. Sorry, the information is going to be different depending on the result, right? The person who wants to build like a passive income business, the information that they need is more so probably to do with like how to, you know, find a high paying job and invest their money and just like gradually invest so you can be passively earning from the stock market. Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe it's using some other versus, you know, the information for the entrepreneur who wants to, you know, build and scale an online e-commerce business. Different information, right? Requires different action, requires different feedback. So I think first things first, it comes down to like understanding what you want, right? And the key to this as well, because like you're probably listening and going like, but what if you don't know what you want? And that's fine. Just start, just like move into action, because I've started and stopped and probably like been through 15 to 20 different opportunities and businesses and like, you know, affiliate marketing, like so many different things that I've tried that have failed. So like to get to where I am now, it was done through a process of just figuring out what didn't work, you know, and if you're sitting there and you're like, but this isn't good enough, just do it, give it a crack, try it on, do it for 12 months, figure out the good things, the bad things, the ugly things, figure out what you learn, and then, you know, reevaluate, reassess and try something new. Constantly reevaluating the long, like what do I want? What do I want? What am I chasing? Is it freedom? Is it tons of money? Why do I want the money? What's the money for? What's it going to bring to me? Right? Because I promise you one thing, like if you think you want a lot of money, like it's awesome. Money's great and you need it. And I'm a money guy, but at the same time, like money itself doesn't actually bring you any intrinsic happiness. I remember I had this big deal closed recently and it was like, you know, nearly seven, it was seven figures. And I was like, this is going to be insane. This can be amazing. Like I'm going to feel so fucking good. Close the deal. Everything happened, cash. And I was just like, right. Okay. And I said this before. I was like, it feels the same. It feels the same when I used to work, you know, in the $2 store when I was like 13 years old, making like $600 a week to making like however many thousands of dollars a day or a week or whatever. It all is the same. Like there is no like, when I get to this level, then I'm going to feel this. When I get to this level, then I'm going to feel this. I remember when I made my first $1 million, I was like, okay, maybe it's going to be 2 million. Maybe three. And it's the same. So it's like you are realizing like what you actually want first, and then organizing and finding all the resources, all the information that you can find around directing yourself to that path. Start fucking doing it. Just read, listen, consume, and then do, and then get some feedback. Feedback, I find feedback in the best sense for me personally. Not everyone kind of has the same, I guess, disposition, but I personally really enjoy working with people who are doing the thing that I'm trying to do. So mentors, coaches, advisors. I've got like, you know, two or three different advisors in different areas. And then I've got a personal coach that works with me. So like, it's important to have people in your corner that you can, you know, vet ideas through. You can share your deepest, darkest secrets with without being judged. And you can ask them for fucking help, you know, and get feedback as to what you need to do differently. So that's kind of like my assessment of change.
I like it. What are you pulled by? Because obviously you said like money's great, you're a money guy, but when different checks came in, it would be thousands or millions, it was still the same reaction for you. So what are you pulled by? Are you pulled by something individually? Are you pulled by something as a group, as a couple? What pulls you that you get that aha moment?
So the biggest thing that I've kind of like distilled it down to for myself is just it's gone. I've chased nothing but money before and like made tons of money and I'm like, emptiness, nice. So like the reason and the way that I've kind of watched the last particularly like 5 years of my, you know, business, particularly life kind of unfold, what I've realized is what I've landed in right now and the reason that I'm so passionate about and the reason I'm willing to endure everything and anything that's thrown at me is because of I feel like I have this responsibility and this obligation by being number one, like an individual, a man who is able to physically, mentally, emotionally capable to do the things that I do, right? Number two, I've been given and gifted and blessed with the opportunity based on where I've been in the past to where I am now. That disposition between coming from there and being here, seeing what it's like to have that polarity on the other side of the table and being like, I choose to be here. So number one, I've got this choice and choice for me comes down to like the constant decision to choose, right? Because the moment I'm not choosing this, I'm inadvertently choosing that, which I was, right? So now I feel that I wouldn't say owe it, but I don't like that because it comes with like the debt. But I feel like I have this obligation to see out the opportunity and see this whole entire like process, this journey, this mission that I have in front of me through until my final days. Like it's this like deep from the bottom of my gut responsibility that I have to be as big and like as bold and burn as bright as I can for the benefit of nothing else but what I'm doing, so that I can look back and say, you know, what I did was not that. What I did was this. And if it can shine a light and it can create a path for other people to look at and be like, dude, that was that kid from that fucking town, you know, that almost died and freaking was homeless and shit. And he was a junkie and like, wow. Kind of.
Yeah, and that's massively relatable for this audience too. And I want to just peel back to that homeless phase if you are open to sharing. What, because obviously it's a long, you know, in 12 to 18 months, you know, that's a long period to be in that same position. While you were in that position, did you fluctuate through feel sorry for me moments, I'm just going to accept this, to moments where, nah, fuck this, I'm getting out of it, to constant progression? 100%. At what point?
Yeah, I went, and he, the thing that I said before, like around, like your own kind of thermometer when it comes to like how familiar you allow yourself to become with your environment will be the deciding factor as to how successful you are, right? So I've got this like, you know, internal kind of thermometer in myself now that like, if something is not working, or if something's causing me pain, or if something's causing me like some sense of like I'm like I'm like fuck it, like if it's not, get rid of it, like I don't want it, right? There's this like rigorous focus on like not letting myself become comfortable and familiar with the things that aren't serving me. Do you understand? Because as soon as you sit there and you like the frog in the water gradually acclimatize, and you're like, yeah, you know what, like my girlfriend now, she's paying for all my shit, she's paying for my food, she's paying for my clothes, like I mean, could be worse. I mean it's not that bad. And you get used to it and you accept it and it becomes your new standard, and it becomes very fucking difficult to raise that standard, because when you try and grow, you're sitting there, you're used to it, you got your bills paid, you got this paid, like everything's just like granted. And that's what it was for me. So like I let it drag on for like months and months and months and months and months and months and months because I just became familiar with it, right? And then your psychology and your subconscious like works in for you or against you. Like spending wise is exactly the same. Like I remember when I first, you know, paid for a designer bag for my now wife, like it was like $4,000 for this one bag. And I was like fucking losing sleep. And I'm like, my heart's racing. I'm on the phone to like Louis Vuitton and I'm like, freaking out about this thing. And I'm like, how the fuck, this is so, oh my goodness. And I was like, just absolutely whacked, right? And then like you spend it. And then the thing is, what happens in that exact moment is that sets the standard of your threshold to which you give a fuck about, essentially. Anything below that you spend on her, you'll spend almost without regard, because the standard of what is a lot is now 4,000, right? And then 2 years later, I'm buying her a car. So now the standard's 70,000+. And I'm like, okay, that was kind of felt the same as 4,000. Okay, nice. So what's the next fucking standard? And it's exactly the same with the negative, right? Like you're sitting there and you have like one close call with the police. Oh, fuck, that was close, man. Like, geez, like it's all right. And it's normal, right? And then you have the next kind of close call. It's a little bit worse. Something else happens. It's a little bit more kind of like close to home and you get a little bit more rattled. And then if the same thing as happened on the first time happens again, you're like, yeah, all right, officer, get it over and done with, man. Yeah, whatever we need to do here, just write it up. Let's get on with it. I know the process. You understand what I mean? So that familiarity that you develop with, you know, your relationship to good or bad things is going to serve you or it's going to fuck you, right? And to the degree that you can consciously choose to remain uncomfortable and choose urgency and choose change every single fucking time is to the degree that you'll be successful or unsuccessful in your life. So does that answer the question, kind of?
Mate, they're massive aha moments, you know what I mean? And my audience have done a tenth of the development I've done, and I'm sitting here like feeling like I'm just a student with my arms folded, my little notepad writing things down. So I want to now know what challenges the professional version of you, right? We know what challenged you when you were going through these moments of, you know, identifying yourself. What challenges you now? What's something recent where you've put yourself in a position of, man, I've done all this. I thought I was at a good stage. Boom, this just hit me. And now I have to like regrow something. Do you still get challenged now? What's something that you
can... Oh, man, I get challenged. Yeah, more than ever. Like the current challenge that I'm working through at the moment is it's actually disassociating and detaching from a lot of the identifying material things that I thought or think that I need to have that makes me me. If that makes sense. So say, for example, like last year, I had a huge, big office with like, you know, 20, 30 staff in there. And I was doing a lot of that because I felt that like it was part of me being the business guy, me being the successful owner of this business, entrepreneur, all this great stuff, having like, you know, over $1 million in payroll every single fucking, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then like, I began to like understand and realize and look more closely at like the utility of things rather than like purely doing something for the sake of like having it represent some part of your identity or something. So like my kind of challenge or what's challenging me at the moment is to be completely authentically myself. And I'm actually intentionally removing and cutting and doing away with a lot of the things that I thought or used to think or perhaps still somewhat think that I need so that people will look at me as if I'm the guy that has the business and is successful. So I'm like, I want to, you know, get rid of all my nice things, not to be the spiritual dude, but just purely to choose that I don't need those things and those things do not make me me, and to still, you know, be completely whole, deliver massive value and be an expert in what I do. But I don't need to hold on to all these things. So for me, that's kind of what I'm going through at the moment is actually the letting go, because the more you free up and the more space you create for like yourself, the more space you actually have to create. So I'm like, let's just like get rid of all of this shit so that I can actually be present, focused, and actually create something like on a massive scale. And all of my attention's on that. It's not like phone call ringing, staff members going here, this bill's got to be paid, this is happening over here, this thing's getting done, the car's going over to this shop, this thing's getting done over here, the work getting done on this prop. Like, I'm like, how are you supposed to build something when you got like 45 things buzzing in the background? I'm like, let me just get rid of it all and see what happens. So that's kind of my challenge at the moment, man.
I love that. Relates to me on a smaller scale in the grand scheme of things. But I've had a Mustang for the last 2 years, kind of like my dream car. When I went bankrupt, I suffered the identity of like driving a little hatchback, and I was so ashamed because I cared about that public opinion. And then I bought this Mustang, wrapped it, matte wrap, you know, payday and number plates. It was a complete fuck off in your face Mustang, did all, you know, speed, noise, everything. I just sold it and I just went and bought like a Navara, just a big four-wheel drive thing, to completely do that exact same thing, remove that identity of having to be seen as this guy. Even it was completely non-productive. I couldn't do anything with it. I'm now driving a car that I can tow a jet ski, take my dogs to the beach. Life's way better now. But I was so attached to being seen driving a certain thing for so long. So that relates to me massively in my world on a much smaller scale from that greater challenge. Mm-hmm.
The reason that I keep drilling into that is because I remember like if I look back at myself today and the way that I was living when I was like 21 through to 25, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Like if you just even save like $1,000 a week and put it into like, I don't know, the S&P 500, just $1,000 a week. Like you made $2,000, like just save 50%, not spend it all on drugs and just do that. And I guarantee that like in 10 years time, when I look back at myself today, right, I'll be like, why would you spend $2,500 a month on a car? Yes, you make a lot of money, but why? I'm not going to be like, yes, Sasha, well done, mate. Well done. Excellent. I'm so proud that you spent all that cash on unnecessary shit. You really, really set yourself up well, mate. Well done. There's no fucking way. I'll still have the same mindset now as I did about myself at 21, as I will thinking about myself when I'm 40, as I am now. I'll be like, what are you doing? You don't need to do it. No one cares. You know what I mean? No one gives a fuck. So yeah, I hope that's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been massive, man. I want to, the Jordan Belfort experience, right? Because that's for a lot of like listeners and me especially, right? That's a big deal. How'd that come about? Did you pay for some private mentoring with him? Did you get invited to speak with events? How did that come undone? And what was some of, you shared that massive piece of advice that he gave you before. And one of the questions I had for you were, you know, what were one of the two, three main things that you took away from either him directly or just being in his presence and seeing how he operates?
Yeah. So like I, you know, got affiliated and associated with him through a couple of his programs. I bought one of his programs initially, just like a cheap offering. I think it's like $150 or something. And I was like, this is actually really good. Like this is, so if I go back to my change matrix, right? Information, action, feedback, right? And what did I do? I wanted to develop the sales skill. That was my point of focus. I'm like, all right, who's in the market that actually does really well at sales? Well, Grant Cardone, I've done his shit. I don't think it's good. Jordan Belfort, I haven't done this shit. Like it looks crazy in the movie, but maybe it works. Read his books. And I was like, holy shit, this is insane. This actually works and this makes sense. So I was like, let's keep going, you know, and keep developing on this information strand to get me to where I want to be, which is, you know, mastering sales and influence and being highly skilled at communicating. So I was like, okay, let's keep doing that. So I just naturally went through the layers of that and got an invitation to go to one of his private masterminds that was, you know, $25,000 for a weekend, 2-day weekend. So, you know, I let's do it. You know, I kind of believe in myself. And you asked for this result. I was like, I want to master this skill set. What's the fastest way to do it? Well, you can read books. I mean, I've got books on my shelf here. You can do that for years and years and years. But I'm a big believer of like proximity. And I'm like, I want to be around those people. So I can like, through that osmosis, I can like have that rub off effect where I can learn from them directly. And so like, I was like, let's do it. Yeah, it's a lot of cash. And it ended up being like a $50,000 weekend. That's a house deposits. That's this, that's that, that's everything else. And I was like, I'm doing it. Like I'm committing to it. I'm committing to myself and my future. And the beauty of what happens when you commit to someone at that level, for example, a mentor, a coach or someone like that is you get their attention. Okay. Because say, for example, I would have, you know, gone to Jordan, I would have started hammering his email, hammering his Instagram, hammering him somewhere, been like, Hey man, like, please, I want this. I'm trying to learn sales. What video can you teach me? He'd be like, block, fuck off. You understand? But the moment, like, I'm like, I ain't messing around. I'm not here to waste your time. Here's my money. It's on the table. Fucking listen to me. Right. Like I want your attention. You understand? And the kind of level of respect and level of like, huh, okay, like I'm going to listen to this guy. So what have you got to say? What do you do? You understand what I mean? And that kind of was the buy-in, quote unquote, that, you know, granted me access to him. And then from there, it was, you know, some ongoing mentorship. And then he came down and we did some events together and then, you know, did the whole Melbourne, Sydney tour in 2020. That kind of came off the back of that mastermind and, you know, had a pretty awesome relationship, went through a lot of, you know, ups and downs as any relationship, saw some interesting sides of him, good, bad, ugly, had some big screaming matches on the phone and had some other wild conversations. So yeah, and it's cool. Like it's cool to think like, oh yeah, that's the dude in the movie, but like I get to know the real guy and that wouldn't have been real if I didn't bet on myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the only reason that like so many people stay where they are is because they're paralyzed by fear. You know, you'll sit there and let your fear coax you out of so many good opportunities because you're like, yeah, but it's so much money. I've never done it before. I'm scared. Oh, there's too many people doing it already. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. Like there's every fucking reason under the sun, man. And one thing that I so powerful to me when I was like broke and I remember like starting my first business, I remember taking the risk and I had to invest like 25 grand Aussie dollars, this 24,000 Aussie dollars into this license kind of program to kind of like register this business that I started, right? Kind of like a franchise in a way almost. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself and I was like, you got no idea what you're doing. You've never done this before. You don't even know how to like repair a car. You're borrowing 25 grand from two of your friends who will fuck you up if you don't get it back to them. And I was like, what are you doing? And I remember just being like, well, like I already know what this life looks like. You know what I mean? Like I already know what it's like to work a 9-to-5. I already know what it's like to be broke. I already know what it's like to have no money. I already know what it's like to struggle to pay the bills every week. I've done it for years. I'm pretty familiar with it. Like, why don't you just try something else? Just fucking try it. Just give it a taste. You know what I mean? See what it's like. Put in the sacrifice. Put in the fucking risk. Just fucking try it. What's the worst that's going to happen? oh, you're going to wind back in the same position that you are now.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? It doesn't fucking matter. You're going to be exactly where you are right now with a lot more skills and a lot more knowledge and a lot more cool stories to tell. At least you'll be that guy rather than the guy that's 50 years old saying, oh, you know what, son, I wish that I fucking had this opportunity again. I would have taken that fucking shot in the dark, mate. I would have done that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's speaking volumes. I mean, of that level of self-talk and self-trust in yourself, even though until that point, the self-talk to self-trust had led you to things that didn't work, you still believed at some point you were going to make it work. And I think that's the part that a lot of people seem to struggle with, that internal belief that I've stuffed up so many things, what's going to be different versus that I've stuffed up so many things, I'm about to get one right. That small shift of belief is massive.
That's right. Yeah.
One of the questions I want to ask you is, every successful person I've spoken to, you know, whether they're successful now, driving towards success, they have a certain level of rules they like to live by, you know, certain level of standards. So I was going to ask you, what do you have specific rules, specific standards that you wake up, you set on a daily, a week, you won't accept lower?
Yeah. So like, I mean, my kind of standards, I guess, for like myself on a day-to-day basis now, pretty much, you know, I wake up in the morning, you know, generally speaking before 5 o'clock, I meditate and do some kind of spiritual practice for at least an hour every single day, do some kind of exercise and movement every day. I follow a pretty strict diet where I don't really eat shit because I just find that makes me feel shit. So kind of makes sense to not eat the shit. And yeah, I work really fucking hard. Like those are like the main rules that I kind of live by. Like I'm like, if I'm doing, and I think the thing that I'm constantly evaluating as well is like, because the actions that you take, you know, are going to be necessary for you to do to get to the next level, but like as you continue growing, you're going to need to stop doing things. So a big thing for me at the moment is like looking at like, what are the things that I'm doing that are least dollar productive, if that makes sense? So it's like spending my time on the things that only I can do. And so like a question I ask myself all the time, and I guess this may or may not be as relevant, is like, you know, can someone else do this? Can someone else do this for me? Like, what's the thing that I'm doing? Is this really what I should be spending my time on? And it's completely relevant. Like, if you have your goals and you have the thing that you want to achieve, and then like you find yourself at like, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, like watching Netflix and hanging out, and it's like a fucking Wednesday, like just ask yourself, like, is this really the best use of my time right now? And just being completely like candidly and transparently honest. And if the answer is no, then like get the fuck up and do something that's actually productive to move you towards your goals. And that's it. Like if you can kind of like constantly keep yourself in check, because like, you know, the devil's always there. The devil's always over your shoulder, and it's always, you know, ready to catch you when you are not looking and when your kind of like eyes are somewhere else. So like, you know, the more awareness and the more attention you can bring on to like, what am I doing? Is this the best use of my time? Is there something else that's more valuable? Why am I scrolling on my Instagram? It's been 45 minutes. Do I really need to be looking at these chicks' titties right now? Like, is that important? Probably. Like it's just being honest, you know, and that's about as far as it goes. Otherwise, it's like when you're starting out, you got to be prepared to work 7 days a week for at least like two years, I think, 3 years maybe. When I was building things back from, you know, zero, I worked every single day for 3 years straight, not a single day off, maybe like 2 to 3 days off, like 13, 14 hours a day, because I was ferocious, man. And my goals were bigger than the fear and pain that I had of sleep, of, you know, not getting or not seeing friends. I was like, it doesn't even register. You know what I mean? So it's like amplify your desires to the point where, you know, the day-to-day suffering you experience just becomes like, really, man? Yeah, you slept 6 hours. Yeah, you didn't go and party on the weekend. You didn't go to that fucking barbecue and drink beers with your boys. Like, who fucking cares, man? Do that when you're rich. You know, like, you'll have a lot more fun. You'll have a big barbecue on a big yacht, you know? So that's kind of what I think, man. Rules, yeah. I think rules, like you got to have some strict kind of operational procedures that you live by. For me, that's what works. You know, wake up in the morning early, do my meditations, do my spiritual practices, train, eat really clean, work really fucking hard, be present, be intentional with everything I do. And
life begins to get a lot better. Yeah.
Clarity and discipline. I love it, mate. I've got one last question, stupidly informative, and I don't want to go too much because then someone, you know, once they learn too much, they get to the end, they forget the start, and I want people to really retain all of this. So the one question I like to stump all my guests with, I don't give you any heads up on this, is the main one piece of advice, if you could leave all the listeners here with one piece of advice, the most valuable piece of advice you've ever received or you've ever given, what would it be?
Most valuable piece of advice. Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer because I asked myself this question recently on one of the calls I had with one of my coaches, and I was like, what would you say to yourself? And this is probably the piece of advice that I just give you. I'd tell you to ask yourself this question, and this would be the advice applicable to you today. So the question that I asked myself is, what's one thing that I would tell myself 10 years ago to do, right? And I said to myself 10 years ago with the version of me that I am today, I said, fucking believe in yourself more, right? So relevant to whatever you receive when you ask yourself that question, if you take yourself where you are right now and give yourself, I don't know, a couple of seconds to think about, you know, you 10 years ago and say, what would you tell your younger self to do? And you'd be like, this, fucking do that. Because I still don't believe in myself as much as I should. You know what I mean? And if 10 years ago I was giving myself that advice, maybe it's time you fucking listen.
It's kind of it's a reflip. It's going to test some people. I like it a lot, mate. Mate, I appreciate it. Before we wrap up on anything, I like to just flip it completely and give you guys the power. This is your moment to plug yourself. What do you do? Where can people find you? What's your Instagram names? For anyone that's heard this and go, hey, I want this guy to be a coach. I need to be around this guy more. Where can they find you? What do you got going on?
Yeah, so the best place to, I guess, consume some of my content or listen to some of my other videos and pieces of content is probably like my Instagram, Sasha_Carabat. My YouTube channel is just being, you know, reconfigured and built out as well. So there'll be a lot of, you know, solid content coming out there as well in the next coming months. So that's just Sasha Carabat as well. But in the meantime, yeah, Instagram is probably the best place to send me a message. Let me know your feedback. Let me know what you liked or you didn't like. Yeah, feedback's a big thing for me. So I'd love to hear from you if you got one piece of value out of this.
That's beautiful, mate. Matt, I appreciate your time. I know the listeners are going to appreciate that. I had stupid aha moments through that last half an hour. I know they're going to. So, man, super grateful. Appreciate it all, man. And thank you.